turn to Colossians again. Colossians chapter 1. We'll finish up the chapter. I don't know where we'll be next. Maybe we'll continue on. We'll see. But we ended in Colossians 1. We ended at verse number 21, I believe. 22. I'll read the passage. It says here in verse 22, it'll say, "In the body of his flesh, through his death, to present you holy and blameable and unreprovable in his sight." It's talking about Christ reconciling us to God in his body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and Philip, that which is behind, of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Last week, we looked at God and what he does. He places us in the kingdom of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. We saw what Christ was doing. He was reconciling us to God. And in the last part of this chapter, it explains what Paul's ministry was. So what was Paul's ministry? I think it was threefold here, really two. He was the minister of the gospel, it says in verse 23. It says, "I, Paul, am made a minister," speaking of the gospel there. He was a minister of the gospel. The definition in the New Testament, it means good news, gospel, or glad tidings. How many of you remember when Osama bin Laden was shot? Do you remember that? I remember that. How many of you remember when the Twin Towers fell? I remember that too. I was only 5 years old, but I remember it. Maybe you remember VJ Day or VE Day. Some of you perhaps. But these events have changed the world. These were huge events. And pretty much, if you were alive during that time, you heard about it. You knew about those things because it was important. We've heard good news and we've heard bad news because this news has redirected the course of millions of people. It was important news. It was something that you would probably be interested in. It affected your life when the Twin Towers fell or when Osama bin Laden was shot. It was a big day in American history because this person was our enemy for so long. But these are important things, and we've heard this news. It was important that it got out, and people made it a point that we find out what this news is. But we have good news as well. Good news. So here's some observations. News, what is news? I looked it up in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. It says, "Recent account, fresh information of something that has lately taken place at a distance, or of something before unknown." As in tidings. A doctoral dissertation is not the gospel. It's not news. The gospel is not a lifestyle either. I think of, we'll just say, a man from India wanting to see what America was like landed at the Bangor International Airport, BGR, in January 2019. He visited many of the sites Maine has to offer, but he wanted to see what the villages were like, what the common folk were like, right? So driving down your road Sunday night, February 3rd, you heard some shouting, a great noise. You were outside running around your house. Why were you doing that? It's because the New England Patriots had done it again. They won the Super Bowl. But this man from India, he sees you doing all these things. Does he know why you're doing these things? Just seems like you're excited, but he doesn't know why. Unless someone tells him the whole story, he has no way of knowing why you are behaving the way you are. And as Christians, people may see that you're different. They may even claim, you know, they may put the title, oh yeah, you're a Christian, you're just kind of strange. But they do not know why, really, until you tell them. Tell them the story, not just that you're a Christian, but you tell them the gospel, the reason why you are different. But not only is it news, news has to be told, it has to be proclaimed. It's not just a lifestyle, and it's not just a doctrinal dissertation. But also, it's good news. And what's good? Something beneficial, right? So we shouldn't be ashamed of the good news of what Jesus Christ has done. I'm speaking this to myself as well. But if we look at it, it's good news. Christ's story benefits others. It benefits them. It benefits other people. But it's also relevant. Why? Because it applies to everyone. So it benefits them, and also it's relevant to anyone. Doesn't matter who they are. So it means it's important to them because it's relevant to them, and it will benefit them. We should not shy from telling others because they mock, because those that reject the story of Christ are the true fools. We have the words of life. They may think, you're crazy, you're a little weird, and we hate to be looked at as weird. I hate to be looked at as weird or different or make things awkward when you're talking with somebody. But if we truly believe the gospel, we know that it's good, beneficial, relevant to them, and we know that this news is what's going to save them, what they need to hear, whether they know it or not. So Paul, it says here, what was his ministry? He was a minister of the gospel. And we are ministers of the gospel. Romans chapter 10, 13 through 15. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, which is a wonderful truth. I think we all can say it's a wonderful truth if we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. But it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? It doesn't mean you have to be a pastor or an evangelist. Someone who proclaims, someone who kind of like the newsboys, extra, extra, read all about it. Someone like that, someone who's going to proclaim the gospel. How should they preach except they be sent? It says, so we are ministers of the gospel. Paul was a minister of the gospel, but also he was a minister to the church. And as we read on, we find that to be true. It says, whereof I am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, in verse 24, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. He was a minister to the church. And he served the church with an attitude of joy and sacrifice. We see that he says here in verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. So Paul was suffering. You can see that 1 Corinthians, or I believe it's 2 Corinthians, he gives a list of things that he went through. You read in Acts of what happened to Paul. For other people, he was suffering. Paul was suffering for the Colossian believers, it says. Sufferings for you. It was for them, for other people. And as a side note, you have two types of people, typically, that will either, they'll see a problem, and, you know, it's not my area, it's not really my concern, so you just kind of go on your way. But then there's other people who will see a problem, and they will go and they'll do what they can to fix it. I worked for the school, Ambassador Baptist College, the school we attended, and I worked as the housekeeping supervisor for a time, for the last year in school. And there was about there were girls that actually I supervised, and they cleaned different parts of the campus. And sometimes you'll have an issue. I remember one time there was I think the laundry room was flooding. And one of the girls was kind enough to tell me that the laundry room was flooding, but she said, you know, it's not my area, so I didn't do anything kind of thing. And it was kind of, you know, the laundry room is flooding. You could at least you know, move the mop and fix some things. But then you have other people. Another fellow I worked with, he did the lawn care. He was a master's student and my RA in my first year. But he was a genius when it came to motors and things like that. He did all sorts of things with mechanics. But he was the kind of guy, if he saw a problem, he was going to go and try and find a solution. He was going to fix it. And he did it with joy. He had a great attitude. And I really looked up to him. But he was that way. And this is the way Paul was. He was suffering for others. He was willing to sacrifice for other people. He was willing to fill needs, even if it costed him. So are we willing to fill needs, even if it costs us? Sometimes, what if, you know, sweeping the floor or cleaning up something or help someone on the side of the road? I know you have to be careful with that, but or meet other people's needs, whether they're physical, emotional, or spiritual. Here's some of the reasons why I don't or we don't. It's because, well, maybe I'll get dirty. You know, right now I'm in my good clothes and I don't want to get dirty. Or what would people think if I did that? What would people think? You know, it's not really, it's not me. I don't normally do that kind of thing. Or I just don't have the time right now. You know, I'm on my way to do this or that. Or if I do, if I help these people, they'll take advantage of me. And, you know, I don't, it's just, or it's hard. It's hard work to do that. Those are some of the reasons we don't do those things. But Paul's attitude was that he was going to sacrifice for other people for Christ's sake. And to suffer for Christ, as it continues on, it says, verse 24, in the flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Back that up. I read the wrong verse. It says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake. He's suffering for you and filling up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake. I've mentioned it before, but this verse, it really has spoken to me on a number of occasions. But some have the attitude, and we probably all have had the attitude at some time, I could never repay you for all that you've done for me. And in actuality, they would imply that, so I won't even try, you know. It's just. But Paul knew he could never repay Christ for his sacrifice on Calvary. I think all of us today know that we could never repay Christ for what he's done for us. There's nothing we can do to equal what he's done. But Paul's attitude here, filling up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in his body, for his body's sake, in my flesh for his body's sake. Christ has done all this for me. I want to do just as much for him. That was his attitude. Even though he knew he could never fulfill it. He could never do as much as Christ had done for him. But that was his attitude. Paul's attitude as a minister of the church. He was a minister of the gospel. He was a minister to the church, and he had an attitude that he was going to do it with joy and with an attitude of sacrifice. So was this Paul's choice to be a minister of the church? Was this his decision? I would like to be a minister of the church. I would like to be an apostle to the Gentiles and have this name and write all these books in the Bible. Was this Paul's choice? Well, in verse 25 it says, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Let's unpack that a little bit. The word minister is literally the word where we get the word deacon. Deacon, or also servant. I am made a servant. It says, according to the dispensation of God. We don't use that word very often, dispensation, unless we're talking about the Bible. But it means taking care of business affairs. You could, or administration would be another way you could translate it. We could call it divine appointments. And you think of, let's see here. He's made a servant according to the divine appointment of God, which is given to me for you. This was given to Paul. Paul didn't choose to be the apostle to the Gentiles, didn't choose to write all these books. God had placed him in that position. The servant's position is assigned to him by his master, where the master knows he will be best suited. And it's the same thing for us. Sometimes either we want a position. You know, I really wish I had this prestigious position, you know, so people could look at me. And we don't often think in those terms, but in actuality, let me just say, I think that way sometimes. Subconsciously, you want it because you want to look good or you want to do something so people will see you. Or sometimes we don't want, you know, I'm comfortable where I'm at. I don't want to go further and do that because I'm uncomfortable doing those things. But the position was not up to the servant to decide what he was going to do. It was up to the master. God decided what Paul was going to do, whether initially he wanted to or not. He was willing to do what God gave him, and he became the apostle to the Gentiles. That was God's purpose for him. But it says here, "Where have I made a minister, which minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God?" So not only was this ministry given to Paul, but it was for you, it says. Talking to the Colossian believers, it was for other people. Ministry is for others, not yourself. And sometimes it's easy to get confused about those things. You think of John F. Kennedy, this famous statement, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. But it applies the same way with ministry. Don't ask what others can do for you or what God can do for you, but ask what you can do for others. That's what ministry is. So God has put us in the place and circumstances you are in for the benefit and edification of someone else. If you are serving God in a ministry of some sort, God has put you there for someone there, for someone else. Or perhaps, if you're not serving him right now, he has a place for you, for someone else, that he wants you to fulfill. And what was the purpose of this? In verse 25, it says, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Isn't it wonderful to know that you can fulfill the word of God? Maybe it sounds a little strange, but by following Jesus Christ and by ministering to others where God has placed you, you are fulfilling the word of God. This is the purpose of our ministry, it says. And so, since we are in this passage, let's make some observations here in the next couple verses. It says, "Where have I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God?" Verse 26 says, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." Mystery of the gospel. It says it was hidden from those. The Old Testament times, they didn't understand this mystery. But now it's revealed to the saints, to whom God would make known. Well, what is this mystery? It's the gospel to the Gentiles is what the mystery is. And it says here, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Riches is the abundant supply of something. And the glory would be the benefits of being in Christ. God would make known what is the riches, the abundant supply of the benefits of being in Christ, this mystery. And he continues on, among the Gentiles, which is, here it is, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The abundant supply, Christ in us, which is the hope of glory. The hope means expectation of glory, which can mean spiritual benefits, whether now or when we get to heaven, the spiritual benefits of being in Jesus Christ. This is the mystery of the gospel. God has given us in Christ an abundance of blessings, not just in the future, not just when we get to heaven, But right now, as soon as we have accepted Christ as our Savior, we can partake of these spiritual blessings. But that was as a side note. We are talking about Paul. First of all, he is a minister of the gospel. He's a minister to the church. But thirdly, sort of in a total sum, he's the minister of Christ, giving Christ to others. Minister of Christ, not as the idea of, yes, he was the minister of Christ, Christ's minister, but he also gave Christ. He ministered Christ to others. It says in verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man. Whom we preach, it's talking about Christ. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So practically, warning. What does this word warning mean? It means stop. It means beware. Telling this to every man. Why do we need to warn them? Because the natural man is at enmity with God and will spend an eternity in the lake of fire. But we should not just warn them, it says, but he says also, and teaching every man. And this is often neglected, the teaching part. We need to teach them why. And this takes communicating with people. It takes time to communicate people, to teach them why we warn them. And it says we need to do this in all wisdom. As we go out and witness to other people, we should do it in all wisdom. Well, how do we do it in all wisdom? Think about it. Well, we have to prepare. Someone who's wise is someone who prepares. Well, how do we prepare to talk with other people? Well, we prepare by walking with God. We prepare by increasing in the knowledge of God and of the Scriptures, and also in prayer. James 1:5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It says, only let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. But what's the purpose of this? Why do we warn and teach other people in all wisdom? It says that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. It says Christ Jesus, not ourselves. Sometimes we like to make other people more like ourselves, you know? But that's not the purpose. It says like Christ Jesus. That is the focus of what we're doing. I was reading this morning with my wife. We were reading in the book of John. John chapter 12. And let me just read that for a second. I just thought of this passage that goes with this. But it's escaping me. But we're to present others into Christ Jesus, like Christ Jesus, and not ourselves. Verse 29 says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So, these words, labor, he's laboring. That's intensive. It means engaging in fatiguing activity, striving or struggling according to his working, which is God's work he's talking about, which worketh in him. Mightily, he says, in power. It's God's ability. So he was laboring. This is work. It's not just sitting around house. You know, it's not just... It takes energy and effort in what Paul was doing. And he says, whereunto I also labored, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. If our Christianity does not cost us, it's not true Christianity. You say, well, I'm a Christian. You know, I'm not always a Christian. I know that sounds kind of funny, but I'm not saying I lose my salvation. But the word Christian means Christ-like. And it was actually used first as a jeering, a word to mock them. Oh, you're one of those Christ followers. You're like Christ. You're a Christian. But if we are not suffering or striving to serve the Lord, we're not really being like Christ, because Christ suffered for me. I should be willing to suffer for his sake. whether it's sacrificing time or activities. Paul was wearing himself out for Christ's sake, according as God was working in his own life. He was a minister of Christ, preaching, warning every man. What are some lessons we can learn from Paul's ministry? Well, he was a minister of the gospel. That was his ministry. It's our ministry as well. Do people know you as the minister of the gospel? When people saw Paul, they already knew. They knew what he was like and what he was going to say. The Jews, when they saw him in Jerusalem, it's like, that's the man that we saw. He was preaching about this Jesus. They knew him just by sight. I wonder if that's our reputation. Do people know us as a minister of the gospel? Do people know me as a minister of the gospel? We should work to that end, to be faithful in giving the gospel. And again, the gospel is not just a lifestyle. It's not just something people are going to see that I'm different and they'll get saved. It just doesn't work that way. There's many moral people, many moral religions, but that will not save them. They have to hear. It's good news. Something has to be proclaimed or told. You have to tell them the story. And we shouldn't be ashamed of it because it's good. It's beneficial to them, and it's important. It's relevant to them. It's important to each individual. But also, Paul was a minister of the church, and we are too, maybe not in the same way Paul was, but we have a ministry that God's given us, a ministry in the church, to the church, in some form or fashion, in some way. God has given everybody a part. If you're not doing something, then you're not in the ministry of what God's called you to do. God has given you something to do. And whatever it is, like Paul, we should have that attitude of rejoicing when it is. Like, well, you know, I don't really enjoy cleaning the bathrooms. Well, it's ministry, and God has given it to us. Or whatever the job is, shoveling snow or helping somebody, something that may not be by sight, something that we'd like to do, whatever it is, we should do it with rejoicing and with an attitude of sacrifice, because it's for Christ. That was what Paul was doing, minister to the church. And God's specific placement for Paul, it was God's choice. He put him in the place that he needed to be in because God knew he would be best suited there. And God has a place for you. And wherever it is, we should be satisfied with it because God knows that's the best place for me right now. And the purpose is to fulfill the word of God. Ministry is for others' people. And also, he was a minister of Christ. He was warning and teaching. He was teaching every man. He says he was free from the blood of all men. Why? Because he told everyone he could. And often I miss opportunities because I hesitate or I forget to bring a track or but we need to be bold in this. Warning every man and teach them why. The purpose is that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. There's many things we can learn from Paul's life and Paul's ministry, but just as Paul's ministry was to reconcile others to Christ, Christ to reconcile them to God, and God to place them into Christ's kingdom, we, like Paul, are the same way. We have a ministry in the gospel, we have a ministry in the church, and we should be ministering Christ to other people. And I hope this is beneficial today. It's something that can be applied to our lives and should be applied to our lives. Let's seek to, in a greater way, be bold for Christ, not only with the unsaved, but in the ministry God's given us in the church. And if we haven't got one, then we need to seek the Lord to find out what he has, because he has something for us. Father, I thank you for your word and for this passage. And Lord, that you are so good to us to want to use us. We have all failed in our ministry in the gospel. I pray that you would forgive us and that you would give us boldness to speak your word as we ought to speak, that your spirit, that we would listen to the promptings of your spirit, and that we would be prepared, and that you would give us wisdom. I pray also for the ministry in the church. Whatever our ministry is, can be so many things. I pray that you would use us, and that if we do not know what our ministry is in the church, that you would give us wisdom to find it, that you would show us what it is. Help us not to seek our own will in the matter, but your own, your desire for us, that you would place us where you know you would best, where we would best be suited. And may you get glory through us. We thank you for the opportunities you've given us. Pray you'd fill us with your Spirit. I pray you'd bless the rest of today as we seek to worship you and as we hear from your word this morning. Pray you'd bless us. And may you be glorified. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.